Welcome to Beyond the Sales Floor. I'm your host, Morgan J. Ingram, and what we're going to be doing is unveiling and unpacking sales playbooks from enterprise sales leaders. All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Beyond the Sales Floor, where we get inside of leaders' heads and figure out what are they doing strategy-wise and in the trenches to get their teams rolling and cranking. So today, I have Lauren. Excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, and we'll dive into it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Morgan. Very happy to be here. My name's Lauren Landry. I lead the sales development organization at Arctic Wolf. We're a cybersecurity platform solution. I've been in the tech software space for the last 20 years. I spent over a decade at Oracle, working in a variety of different roles across sales, marketing, and sales development. And this is my second pre-IPO company that I've worked at. I love the sales development role in the organization. I really believe in, you know, the power of creating diversity in a sales development organization, and that, and in software sales in general. And I also just love the idea that I'm able to work with young talent and develop them, leave them better than when I found them, and help them, you know, build a great career in sales.
Awesome. No, that's fantastic. And I genuinely believe that as well. That's why I love being an SDR manager, love coaching the SDR teams, because there's just so much that they can take on and be successful with, and they don't have any bad habits yet. So that's also a big piece of it as well, right? Like they're ready to soak it in. So let's go into the first question we always ask people, which is, what experiment are you running right now that you're really excited about?
Yeah, great question. So what I'm looking at, trying to really build a transformational way to outbound prospect. And I think, you know, this is cutting edge that a lot of companies are starting to dabble in. And it's the marriage of account-based marketing, intent with artificial intelligence for personalization. You know, going back 15 years, ABM was like a buzzword that you only targeted Fortune 500 companies, and right, you had, you know, super personalized messaging. And today, with a lot of the technology that has been developed over the last, you know, couple of decades, I think we're able to have that level of personalization, but do it in multiple different levels of company size. So what we're trying to really figure out is how to be as effective as possible with the SDR's time and the outbound, utilizing intent signals, having that personalized touch with artificial intelligence, but really having that buying committee centric approach in terms of how we're targeting accounts, whether it's at, you know, a commercial, yep, level, you know, midsize or large enterprise.
No, that's fantastic. Have you found that the messaging is different for those companies, or do you find the messaging is actually similar and you can run the same place?
So I think the biggest difference for me is the messaging is going to be slightly different by persona, because the larger you go in terms of company size, the more compartmentalized the work. So yeah, when you're down market, you're going to have people wearing a variety of different hats, and they're going to, you know, you find somebody quite strategic at a director level. Whereas when you're going up market, you're going to have somebody at a VP level that is laser focused on one particular aspect. So whether you're going into, you know, the HR line of business, sales line of business, IT line of business, I think the messaging kind of needs to be tweaked a little bit from that perspective. I think, you know, when I look at my business with cybersecurity, cost and efficiency become that much more important down market. So we look at messaging like consolidation. Whereas when we go up market, you know, of course, cost is still a concern, but they also want to make sure that they have enough capacity in their teams. So we might look at, you know, how can we save you time instead of a consolidation message. So ultimately, the output's the same, but we're going to slightly tweak how we're positioning it based on the needs, you know, whether it's up market or down market.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great perspective. So that leads it to like your team. So could you walk us through the team structure? Is it like strategic, enterprise, mid-market, SMB? Are people just rogue? Is it pods? Like, I don't know. Everyone's, yeah, different. So talk to us.
Yeah, I think we have a pretty unique structure in the sense that Arctic Wolf is 100% indirect sale. So we do not sell without a partner in that sales cycle. And we have channel sales development reps, and I really haven't heard of other companies necessarily having a role like this. So we have direct sales development reps, and then we also have channel sales development reps. We are based in North America. We have a small team in the UK covering Western Europe, and then a small team based in Sydney covering Australia and New Zealand. And in North America, we have that direct versus channel SDR. The channel SDR is working with our partners or our resellers. They're following up on any joint events that we've put together. They will call out on their buying accounts. They'll do different call blitzes. And they'll work hand in hand like an extension of that partner and then pass on the leads. Whereas on the direct side, they'll be following up on anything that our demand team is driving inbound, like through our website, through chat, any Arctic Wolf, you know, events. But they also will still pass those to partners and, like, you know, run that joint sales cycle. We are hybrid, so we don't have dedicated inbound outbound. Across all the SDRs, they are fielding all inbound, and then they're also prospecting outbound. I would say the largest, you know, some of the team is really based here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in our headquarters. That's where, you know, we've you know, built the organization. We are all office-based, which I think is a little bit different than a lot of the models out there today. So we have 50 people based here in Minneapolis, 10 people based in Newcastle in the UK, and then 2 people based out in Sydney.
Awesome. No, I think that's a interesting model there, because you said no one is solely focused on inbound, solely focused on outbound. It sounds like they're doing, I mean, I've seen this term all bound. I'm assuming that's what you're considering
all bound, yeah. Or like I describe it as hybrid, but yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're both inbound and outbound.
Okay. So how do the reps stay incentivized to do outbound if they're not solely focused on it?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we have, it's about 70-30, 70% of what they're sourcing is coming from inbound and 30% is coming from outbound. We have accelerators if you have overachievement on your quota. So they're incentivized to keep going. And also, you know, I have a saying, don't leave money on the table. If you can get to 100%,
that's a good saying.
You know, it's free money from the company. You're going to make an accelerated rate. So just keep going.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't think anyone's trying to leave money on the table. So they should should definitely take advantage of that 100%. So within the outbound motion, let's say there's like a 30% there. How are you staying consistent and staying innovative throughout today's age? I mean, everyone has seen the rage right now of Google and Yahoo basically shutting down like the spray and pray method that a lot of companies just immediately go into. So how have you been thinking about that as a leader? And as you're listening in, like we're just hearing the news like a couple of days ago. So, you know, this is probably going to be updated as we get into this.
Yeah. And I think at this point, we're also inundated with messages that aren't relevant, that it's just so much noise between, you know, your email, the calls that you're getting, the different social channels that you're on, that people are just kind of sick of it. And I think the spray and pray isn't really getting through. You know, I'll be honest, our company initially was definitely built on the spray and pray. When I joined 2.5 years ago, it was a $100 million company. Right now we're a $420 million company. And what got us here is like just hustle and grit.
You got to get after it. Yeah.
Talking to as many people as we can. Yeah. But we're at, you know, what I would describe as an inflection point as we're chasing down, you know, that $1 billion revenue mark. And we need to be more effective and efficient with how we're utilizing the team's time, because we're not going to continuously expand our headcount. So we need to make sure we're utilizing our headcount effectively. So the spray and pray method doesn't really work once you're at that point where you really need to be a spear fisherman instead of like just casting a net and hoping that you catch things. You want to try to catch the big fish. And I think the way to do it is utilizing a lot of the great tech tools that are out there. You know, we've got Sixth Sense, we've got Tech Target, we've got, you know, things like Zoom Info or Cognizant that are giving us an advantage in terms of the data that we're able to really have a target going after the right person with the right message at the right time. So that's where I'm really starting to shift things. And it goes back to what I'm the most excited about right now. And it's that marriage of ABM with intent, with artificial intelligence. The messaging and keeping things fresh is definitely tough. You know, I've actually been crowdsourcing this quite a bit with other leaders at other companies, just picking their brains, you know, what are you doing? How are you keeping it fresh? And it runs the gamut. Some organizations still let their SDRs create content, so it's kind of bottoms up. Some organizations have like a mixed hybrid where either the SDR is creating content, it's submitted to a council, and then the council's approving. We're kind of moving more towards a bit top down, where we have a centralized committee that's creating the structure of all of our sequences and then utilizing some AI technology. Like we have Outreach, for example, they have the email assistant where that's giving the SDRs a bit of a head start in terms of the research, because I always want our messages to basically have that standard formula of, you know, why you, why Arctic Wolf, why now? And using some of these tech tools will help them just be more efficient. Instead of taking 10 to 15 minutes to write an email with a blank canvas, you get a head start and you're able to modify that. It takes, you know, what would have taken you 10, 15 minutes is going to take you 1 to 2 minutes. So that's where we're going to just speed up the efficiency, because we're not going to continue to expand headcount. So we need each rep to be more effective with their time.
Yeah, I mean, you said something really good on AI. I feel like a lot of people right now are treating AI as a genie. Like, put in something, I should get out the answer. That's not how you think about it. It's how can I get 80% of the way there? So then I can add my 20% element. And that's what it sounds like y'all are doing, which makes sense. And, you know, before we hopped on, you were talking about how you were talking about sales development. On the beginning, you were talking about how, hey, I like, you know, investing into younger people in their career. How do you make sure that you're hiring the right people and you're onboarding them right in the 30, 60, 90 appropriately?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, with I've hired thousands of people throughout my career. And for the sales development role, I look for some very basic things, you know, things that you can't necessarily teach. That intrinsic motivation, someone that is self-possessed with drive. And I believe that people like that have a pattern throughout their life since childhood. If I ask a question in an interview, like, when's the last time you were first place in something? And they're like, and they have to go back to like fourth grade. I know that that's not the DNA that I'm looking for. I mean, like, I want to race, like, you know, in my car on the way in today. So it's like,
you want those people.
Every single moment of the day, right? I'm thinking about competing. So I think if you have that, if you have somebody that's driven like that, if they have, I describe it not necessarily as intelligence, but street smarts, that they can read situations, they can just go on the spot, they can pivot, you know, and they have emotional intelligence. That can be harder to pick up in an interview. You know, I tend to ask questions like scenario questions. What would you do in this scenario? You know, let's say that I gave you a deadline. Your sales rep gave you a deadline and you couldn't complete both projects within that deadline. How do you handle it? Like, just questions to see how they think. If I have that right kind of DNA, I can teach them how to do this. I can't teach somebody to like have passion and drive. Like, either you have that or you don't, but I can teach them everything else. So that's really what I look for. You know, I love athletes. I love anyone that's like dedicated themselves to push themselves beyond, beyond like what is typically, you know, what a human typically does, like artists, you know, martial artists, like anybody, even like, you know, in their studies, if somebody has gone above and beyond, like when I see people that take a step outside of the comfort zone, I know that they have what it takes to be successful in a sales role.
Yeah. No, I like the question you're asking. Like, when's the last time you won something? And if someone struggles, it's like, yeah, okay, you're not it. I really like that piece. And then now, because you know that they're a winner, you know they're going to come on fired up for the 30, 60, 90. So as we wrap up here, some really great insights. We're going into 2024 right now. What is the number one piece of advice you would give to leaders right now to focus on as we head into?
I think, you know, looking back on the last 20 years working in this space, I think I've observed that technology and the developments and the disruptive nature of it gives us an advantage, but there's always a cost associated with it. And I think there's a risk with some of these tools that I've been talking about today, to kind of dumb down the job and not really teach the sales development reps how to be successful without some of this tech. So I think as we incorporate these newer technologies, making sure that they're still taking the time to teach the fundamentals of sales and why we do what we do and why this messaging is good and why it makes sense for how you're approaching things, so that they're going to continue to be well-rounded and not kind of handicapped as they move into other roles in their career, because we've kind of just like done the job for them so that they're not learning in the same way.
Awesome. Well, I think this is all great insights. I think that's a really good perspective too, and how a framework people can follow on moving forward. So Lauren, thanks so much for hopping on the show here, and hopefully everyone took the notes down to go execute.
Thank you so much for having me.